Masechet Shavuot, Perek Vav, Mishnah Zayin. If a person is a lender and they take a mashkon, they take a collateral for the loan they're giving, they're now considered to be a shomer sachar, a paid shomer for it. So the ramifications of that would be, if the mashkon is lost, then he has to pay the borrower the value of the mashkon. And that would turn into, if the mashkon, the collateral, was equal to the amount of the loan, then it's a wash. Everything is considered to be paid up. If the mashkon was worth more than the loan, then the lender has to pay the difference to the person who borrowed the money from him. But if the mashkon was worth less than the loan, then the borrower has to pay the difference between whatever the loan he received was and the value of the lost mashkon. We'll talk about these cases in terms of swears that go with them. Mishnah says, Hamalvet havero al hamashkon ve'avad hamashkon. In all of these cases, if somebody lends money to a person with a mashkon, with the collateral, and then that collateral was lost, and there's a disagreement about how much the mashkon was worth, we'll have four different cases and say the halakha for each one of them. Amar lo, sela hilviticha alav ve'shekel hayashavev. The lender tells the borrower, I lent you a sela, and the collateral that you gave to me was only worth a shekel. Shekel is half of a sela, so you still owe me half of a sela, which is a shekel. Vehala omed lo, vehala omed loki, ela sela hilvitani alav vesela hayashave. So the borrower tells him, no, that's not true. You lent me that sela, but the collateral that I gave you was also worth a sela. So I owe you nothing, because the fact that you lost my mashkon, my collateral that was worth a sela, that evens out with the loan that you gave me that was worth one sela. So in this case, we say patur. The borrower is not obligated to swear that the mashkon was worth a full sela, because he right now is denying owing anything, since he's saying that it was a wash, that the value of the mashkon equaled the value of the loan. He's saying that he's fully paid up, so it's not considered to be a modeh b'miksat case, where he's only admitting partially, and that would obligate him in a full swear. He's saying he's fully paid up. Second case. Sela hilviticha alav v'shekel hayashaveh. The lender tells the borrower, I lent you a sela, and the mashkon, the collateral, was worth only a shekel, was worth only half of a sela, so you still owe me half of a sela. V'hala omed loki, ela sela hilvitani alav ushlosha dinarim hayashave. The borrower replies, no, no, no. You lent me a sela, but the mashkon that I gave you was worth 3 dinarin. 3 dinarin is 75% worth of that sela. It's basically a shekel and a half. So now I owe you 1 dinar as opposed to 1 shekel. 1 dinar is half of a shekel. So basically, just to put this into percentages to make it easier, the lender said that the value of the mashkon was worth 50% of the loan. The borrower is coming back and saying, no, it wasn't worth 50% of the loan. The mashkon was worth 75% of the loan. So now I only owe you 25% of the loan, which in this case would be 1 dinar. So therefore, hayav, the borrower, would be obligated to swear, because he is admitting that he's modeh b'miksat. He's admitting that he only has 75% of the loan paid back with the lost collateral, and therefore he still owes part of the claim, the 25%, and therefore he would have to swear, because it's a case of modeh b'miksat. In these two cases, the lender claimed that the collateral was worth less than the amount of the loan. So now and he's claiming that the borrower still owed him the difference of whatever that was. In these next two cases, the borrower is demanding money from the lender, because he's claiming that the mashkon, the security, the collateral, was worth more than the loan, so now he's owed the difference. Third case, sela hilvitani alav ushtayim hayashaveh. The borrower tells the lender in this case, you lent me a sela, but the security I gave you was worth 2 sela, so now you owe me a extra sela. The borrower is telling the lender, you owe me a sela. Behala omer loki, ela sela hilviticha alav v'sela hayashaveh. The lender is replying, no, 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 that wasn't the case. I lent you a sela, but the collateral that you gave me was worth the same. It was worth a sela as well. So therefore, even Stephen, I owe you nothing. Patur, the lender here, would not be obligated to swear that the mashkon was worth only a sela, because he's denying owing anything. So he's not. It's not a modeh b'miksat case. The lender here now is saying that they're even. Fourth case, sela hilvitani alav ushtaim haya shaveh. The borrower is telling the lender, you lent a sela to me, and the mashkon was worth two selaim. The collateral was worth two selaim. So now the borrower is telling the lender, you owe me an extra sela. V'hala omed loki ela sela hilvitichi alav v'hamisha dinarim haya shaveh. Now the borrower, the lender is telling back to the borrower, no, I lent you a sela, and the collateral was worth 5 dinarim. That's basically 125%. It's a sela plus 1 dinar. So now, I only owe you 1 dinar as opposed to 4 dinarim. 4 dinarim would be equal to 1 sela. I only owe you 1. Because he's saying that the loan was worth 5 selaim as opposed to 8 selaim that the borrower is trying to claim. So therefore, hayav, the lender, in this case, is obligated to swear because he's modeh b'miksat. The claim against him was for an extra 4 selaim, which is equal, 4 dinarim, which is equal to 1 sela. And now the borrower is claiming, no, claiming, I don't owe you 4 dinarim, I only owe you 1 dinar. So he's admitting to part of the claim. Now we'll go back to the second case. The second case was the borrower. We said that the borrower had to swear that the mashkon was worth 3 dinarim as opposed to the 2 that the lender was claiming. But we mentioned that the lender in all these cases is considered to be a shomer sachar. Since he's collecting a collateral, he's a shomer sachar. And a shomer sachar has to swear that he no longer is holding on to the mashkon, that it's not in his possession anymore. That's one of the shivuot that he has to make. So here we'll talk about that now that the borrower and the lender both have to make certain swears. What is the order of them? Umi nishba, who swears first? Misha pikadon etlo, the one who was in possession of the deposit, the collateral, before it was lost and stolen. In other words, the lender has to swear first that the security, the mashkon, is not in his possession anymore. And the reason for that is shema yishba zeh, v'yotzi halai et hapikadon. Because what would happen, maybe the borrower would swear first that the security was worth the higher amount without, maybe he's going to make a mistake in how he assessed the value. And then the other one, the lender, is going to take out the mashkon and he's going to show that it was worth less than the borrower claimed. And that would disqualify the borrower from ever giving testimony ever again because he seemingly gave false testimony. So to prevent this, we don't want to have people who are going to become pasul and people who are scheming a little bit and waiting for one swear to happen. Then they're going to pull out the mashkon. So Hachamim said that the lender has to swear first that he doesn't have the deposit in his possession anymore. And then the borrower would swear what he thinks the value was worth.